everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. And we are back doing On Friendship again. This is so exciting. After our Christmas hiatus, we are back talking about films through a lens of friendship. And I am here with Elisa Lucas.
Hello.
Yes. How are you doing?
Hanging in there.
Yeah.
Rachel decided to pick a movie that was tough to watch.
I don't know what I was thinking.
So if anyone cries during this, it's her fault.
Yeah, I'll have the tissue sent over immediately. Yeah, I can't remember what brought it back to my memory, but I was thinking about the movie Stepmom, and the idea kind of crossed my mind that, oh, this would be a great movie to talk with Elisa about, because it's all about relationships. And so I thought that would be good. And then I watched it and I'm like, what was I thinking? Why?
She texts me, she's like, I'm sobbing. And I'm like, well, it's probably means we picked a good movie. And then I watched it after her and then I did the same. And now I'm,
yeah.
I'm finger wagging at her.
Well, so this obviously is not a Hallmark movie, but I felt like it was on brand enough in order to talk about it. And this is a 1998 film. And is this one that you saw when it came out? Do you remember?
I don't necessarily remember seeing it in the theater, but I do remember seeing it around this time. I probably did see it in the theater. I worked at a movie theater at this time, so I probably...
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did. I worked at a movie theater from when I was like 16 to 22, something like that. 17 to 22. So, you know, the best part is, of course, seeing all the movies earlier, perhaps seeing them for free. So I'm guessing I did see this.
I was so angry at my mother because I wanted to work at the movie theater, but in order to do so, you had to be willing to work over Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And we always visited my aunt and uncle in New York over Thanksgiving. And so she refused to let me get the job. I was so mad at her.
Yeah, we always, because my brothers worked at the same movie theater before me, so I didn't work with them at the same time. They worked together. But for so several years, my parents, we moved Thanksgiving dinner around the shifts that my brothers had and then me. But I'm sure, you know, since they had a good decade lockdown to be able to see movies generally for free, I think they were able to figure it out. But we often stayed home for Thanksgiving, it being like the immediate family, so
it's interesting. If we, heaven forbid, are to lose movie theaters, they really would impact I think a lot of people's first jobs are in
grocery stores, fast food, and movie theaters.
I think so. Well, so I remember seeing Stepmom and thinking that it was really sad, but really good.
Yes.
And I still honestly hold that thought. I think that it is a sad movie, but I think it earns its tears. It is manipulative. It is, you know, trying to push all those right buttons.
Yeah.
But I think that it earns it with good performances and it builds up the relationship pretty well. Like it doesn't really turn on the waterworks till about the last 15 minutes.
Yeah. I think there's a couple scenes like that might get you when you know what's happening. And so I mean, I know this movie came out 23 years ago, so I mean, spoiler alert, but I'm sure we'll talk about it as it comes on. What I think about this movie in particular, what I think is important about this movie is that we don't often see these types of relationships. Oftentimes we have what might be called intact families is the academic term for families that have two parents without divorce, and then the children. And so what we see here is a family that's, you know, experienced divorce and the father is dating someone and, you know, thinking about getting remarried, and you have children who are 12, and I think the boy is 8. And that really impacts their world. And I don't think we see enough of that. Maybe we do more now, but certainly not in 1998 or before. So I think it's an important story. Certainly is it glamorized in Hollywood, you know, makeover, of course, because that's where it comes from. But I still think it's important to consider these types of relationships that people have. So that's one of the things I enjoy the most about this movie, is that it really takes this relationship and tries to understand it. But even more, you mentioned great performances, and I think a sign of a good movie is when there are children and the children are good actors. Because a lot of times I think directors and producers or that sort of thing, they really have to direct children even more so, almost like where children might be mimicking things instead of actually acting it out and having that experience. And I thought both the child actors, Liam Aiken and Jean Malone, were great. The boy is so cute. Every time he laughs, I laugh. And there's so many great moments where Julia Roberts sends him to the car and says, "Don't drive away." And he's like, "Okay." And then she's talking to the girl. And then she's like, "Let's go. Ben will drive us home." You know, there's just like these cute little moments that I think really highlight the personality of the kids. And they did an awesome job. So
I think that's a really good point, because Anna, played by Jenna Malone, she is a lot.
Like, oh, did I say Jean? It is Jenna. Excuse me.
It's hard to tell from the spelling, but she is a lot. She is difficult.
She is a tween girl. I love it. I was like, get that attitude. I love it.
Yeah, but it's definitely enough to feel like real. And it's not there's never any point where the movie is kind of validating that behavior. Like, we know that that is not correct behavior, right?
But like, we also know that's how kids act. And then they, you know, they grow up and that sort of thing. But yeah, I mean, I felt her performance in my soul of a 12-year-old.
Right, exactly.
Like, yes. I mean, specifically, one of the opening scene, Julia Roberts' character, who's is at this point dating their father, she is trying to get the kids off to school and she hasn't washed her purple shirt, and it's purple shirt day. And I tell this story all the time about how I was in elementary school and girls had a purple shirt day and I wasn't invited. And I came home crying because I didn't wear a purple shirt and people made fun of me. So I was like, oh my God. Anna, I understand why you hate your soon-to-be stepmom. She didn't wash your purple shirt, and then you're going to go to school and you're going to stick out. Now, my purple shirt day was a little bit more malicious. It might have just been like sort of like a spirit day at school or something like that. But right off the gate, I'm fully on board with Anna's character.
Yeah, the kids really can be vultures at that at that time, especially like middle school years. I remember we had overnight camp in my school, where it was a weekend, I think, where we went to camp. There was a school official camp, and I had started my period earlier than most of the other girls, and a bunch of the girls in my cabin found my tampons, and they decided to basically like make fun of me and how embarrassed I was.
Yeah.
Mortified. And I mean, now looking back on it, you're like, it's just a natural, know, why?
It's also like, your problem? Day's coming soon, sister.
Right. But they really can't be
brutal. When you don't have something in the bathroom and you ask me to borrow something. Yeah,
that's right. We'll feel sorry for you. Yeah, but they really can't be evil.
Yeah.
Evil kids.
They're trying to figure out life. I mean, you know, middle school's the worst to navigate that. Everyone's kind of like weird and ugly and no one knows how to cope with anything. And then you're trying to date someone, like you're going out, like you can go anywhere. You're 12. Like, where are you going?
And I think the reason why maybe this movie kind of rings true now is I honestly think if I were to find somebody and get married at this point in my life, the likelihood is that they'd probably have been married before and probably have kids.
Absolutely.
And so it's something I definitely have thought about and how I would be able to deal with all that. Now, of course, you can never really know until you're in that situation, but it's definitely something I've thought about.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, if you're if you're dating at a certain point, there's definitely a high percentage likelihood that the person you might date and you might both have kids, or one of you has kids. And so it adds another layer, and especially when you're like entering into a family that already exists, you know, the waters are difficult to navigate. And that's why I think it's important to have stories like this, because people have a wide range of family experiences. There isn't one way to family, right? And so when we highlight only maybe a couple kinds of families, it makes other people's family situations look like they're not valid or valued, and or there's something wrong or dysfunctional. And you know, sometimes relationships just don't work out, and sometimes there is dysfunction, but there can be dysfunction in families with both parents, right? Like, so we just have to, like, I think it's more important to be honest about and really just like open to the idea that families look a lot of different ways, right?
Yeah. And that's one thing that's interesting about this family, is because it seems like they had been apart for quite a while. I mean, for
3 years.
He'd been dating Isabel, was it 3 years? For the quite family, a while, and yet.
Oh, sorry. The family ended, like, one of them walked out 3 years ago, and he had been dating.
For a year.
For a year. Yep.
Yeah. So he'd been dating Isabel for a year. And yeah, they'd been separated for 3 years. But yet Anna still held this flame that they were going to get back together, which seemed kind of surprising to me. And maybe it's just that kids always hold that, I don't know, that hope that their parents will get back together. But it seemed like if it had been 3 years, that she wouldn't be, it felt so fresh to me.
Yeah.
And he'd been dating her for a year. That's quite a long time.
I think there's, like, I have two thoughts about that. Number one, this movie came out the same year as the Lindsay Lohan Parent Trap movie. So kids definitely think that their parents are going to get back together at some point, especially with the Parent Trap, which the original is my favorite and is still one of the greatest films of all time in my mind.
If you want to learn more about all five versions of Parent Trap, me and Marissa Serafini did a special episode of the podcast where we broke them all down.
One of my favorites is Parent Trap 2, which is like, you can watch on, I think you can watch on YouTube. But
yeah,
but the other thought I have is that perhaps it doesn't feel real until it starts to become serious. So maybe what's happening is, and maybe that's what's not clear in the movie, is that maybe the move-in is more recent. You know what I mean? Like, dating is one thing, but like, if you're moving in and it starts to feel like your mom is being replaced, then it starts to become very real. And so it might just be a scab that was just starting to cover that you scratch at, and then the wound becomes fresh all over again. So,
yeah. I think that's probably true. One thing that's interesting about this movie is that it came out the same weekend as Patch Adams. And I think that Patch Adams is the example of how to do this kind of emotion wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they took a true story of a really cool person and made him into a joke. Mm-hmm. And the emotional part of it is a lie. It's false. Like, the whole thing with a girlfriend, that's all a lie. And so this, I think, is how you do that kind of manipulation and that kind of emotion, at least better. That's for sure.
Well, the thing about it is, I think the emotion for me comes in and the realization of the characters played by Julia Roberts and Susan Sarandon that, you know, that Susan Sarandon isn't going to be able to see her kids around, but there is someone here that might be able to provide them with some love and support and might be able to continue on her memory. And I think, like, that's where it comes for me, is that that realization that she's not going to see her kids grow up because, you know, cancer sucks, and yeah, she finds out she has cancer. And I think that is a very true tale for many people. And so it's almost like they weave together two very important tales that people experience. Number one is step families, and another one is the just sheer destruction that cancer can do to people and to their families. Right. And I think Adams,
it's like, I don't want a clown for my doctor. It's one of those movies where you're like, the bad people are right.
You're cheering for the wrong person. Yeah. Well, that's where, and so that's where maybe some of the stuff has to be a little bit more subtle than, like, smack you in the face with it, where it's like, you know, there's one moment where Julia Roberts sort of helps Anna, the 12-year-old, deal with a boy that she's, quote unquote, used to, or is going to go out with. And then Susan Sarandon realizes she's not going to be there for her daughter experiencing these various moments. And she kind of goes off on Julia Roberts, and it's almost like the anger there is misplaced, but, you know, it's being angry that cancer is the worst, and it just doesn't seem fair.
Yeah. And Chris Columbus, it's interesting because he made two big movies about divorce with Mrs. Doubtfire and this.
Yeah.
And yet I don't think he's ever been divorced, which is interesting. Well, I think he's always been married. So I don't know if
about his parents, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, you know, I don't know Christopher Columbus. I know the movies he's directed and that sort of thing. And so there's plenty of them that I have enjoyed. But I did notice at the end of this one, it said, in memory of Irene Columbus. And so it makes me wonder if his mom died of cancer, and that some of these situations might be present day recollections of what he felt as a kid. You know?
Yeah, it doesn't say anything in the Wikipedia. I was hoping I could find more about that, but
yeah,
I didn't see anything. But yeah, it's kind of interesting that it must have been something from his childhood or something like that. But but yeah, I mean, he's one of those directors that has struggled in the post Harry Potter. He's really, I think, struggled. Yeah. He did a good job, I think, weaving in humor and emotion into a lot of different films that he did. Of course, you have the classics like Home Alone.
My favorite. And,
yeah. And the Goonies.
Yes.
He was the writer on. And also in the, he was also the writer for Gremlins.
Yes.
Yeah.
All my childhood favorites.
Yeah, that's right. And I absolutely love Home Alone. It's one of my all time favorites. Yes. So it's an interesting canon, but it is interesting that he would direct these two very iconic movies about divorced families with Mrs. Doubtfire and then Stepmom.
Yeah, and I think Mrs. Doubtfire does have a certain layer of humor, and that kind of stuff, when you see humor layered in with these difficult topics, I just think that it reaches sort of that kind of idea towards life. You're either laughing or you're crying, or this idea that you have good moments with the bad and bad moments with the good. And that's something I can appreciate because it reflects the entire spectrum of life and our relationships, versus just like focusing on just like kicking us all when we're down type of story, you know, or it's just like painful, you know, or something that makes light of the situation where it's not taken seriously at all. And I like that sort of woven together in a way that just makes it feel very realistic. Of course, yes, Mrs. Doubtfire, that is extreme. He dresses up like a woman so that he can see his kids. But ultimately, the message that I think it's getting at is that he would do anything to be able to be with his kids. Says a lot about feelings that people might have, you know? So I think he does a really good job with that.
Yeah. Well, one thing that's interesting is with family in comparison to friends is that with family, we don't have any choice over who we are put with.
Absolutely.
And in this case, it's even more so because it's you know, an additional spouse that mm-hmm. we have to share our children with, mm-hmm. having to deal with that. And what in your kind of study, I guess, about these kinds of relationships that it's like, I've got to learn to get along with this person. They're in my life, but I don't really like them.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things that is very difficult to balance and to navigate because I think ultimately we are trying to protect ourselves or look out for ourselves. And so there is this self or individual focus. And I like, so for the father, it's like he's concerned about finding another relationship, for example. And maybe that seems offensive because, you know, he didn't try to work very hard, according to the kids in the movie, to stay with his wife or to figure it out. But additionally, that why wouldn't his children be the focus, right? Why you're so concerned? But it's hard to navigate because we all have layered needs in our life, which might be companionship and love, and that might be come with romantic partners. You need support, which might come from friends, and you know there's different needs for the different types of relationships we have. And I think that specifically with a movie like this with families that we're trying to balance what we need or what we want with what is best for the entire unit or for our kids. And I think that we have seen many tales, whether media based or based in the news or otherwise, that there are a lot of difficulties that families that become separated, divorced, have when you think about new relationships forming. And I can't think of a more important relationship that needs, well, no. Okay. So we have lots of relationships that are important here. It's important for the former partners to be able to get along. I think it's important for the new partner and the ex-partner to be able to work together. And if you have two parents who are divorced and then they're both remarried, you have multiple relationships there. And then you're also thinking about the relationships with the kids. And so I think there's just a lot going on. It becomes, each relationship becomes more complex. The age of the children is really going to make a difference for how you proceed, I would think, because older children might be like, oh, I'm glad, you know, mom found someone or, you know, that sort of thing. Or younger kids might just be like, oh, mommy has a new friend or, you know, whatever the case is. And then there's kids in the middle that really seem to be caught between their parents, right? And so there is an entire body of research on that feeling, the feeling of being caught, and or the feeling of that you have to somehow manage the relationships for your parents when they're the ones that got divorced, right? So I guess my point is that there's a lot of different relationships, and we're also trying to balance our individual needs with the needs of everyone else. And that's where I think, like, Ed Harris, who's he's one of my favorite actors. He's fantastic. I do not like his character in this movie, to be perfectly honest. I think the focus is on the two women, and that's part of my issue, that he's, like, off working, and it's like, oh, they can take care of it. And I'm like, bruh, no, these are your kids.
Yeah. So, well, it starts out with them finding out from the principal, I guess it is, that, or the teacher, saying that Anna is saying that they are going to be getting remarried. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then trying to figure out why she would be saying this. And there's also this conflict between Isabel and Jackie over the how they're going to, she's late, I think, for picking up the kids. Mm-hmm. But what Jackie is, I think, more upset with is the fact that that she feels like the Ed Harris character is making Isabel do all this instead of spending time with his kids.
Exactly.
Where some of that frustration is, like you're saying. And there's a really good conversation between Ed Harris and the kids. And he says, "I guess I fell out of love with your mom, but we're still friends." And the kids say, "Can you ever fall out of love with your kids?"
And yeah. He says, and he's like, "Never." Yeah.
That was an interesting scene.
Yeah. And I just think like some of it, like the focus on the women's relationship and not necessarily like how they're going to navigate everything. Right. Like there's a big moment where the parents sit down with the kids to tell them that their mom is sick. And, you know, Anna gets really upset and she storms out and he says, "Anna, you don't walk out on your mother." And she turns around and she goes, "No, that's your job." And then she stomps off the stairs and I'm like, ooh. So there's obviously part of the reason why they could dislike Julia Roberts is because they're not happy with their dad and how he handled things, right? And one of the things that is pretty common, what I do know, now my area is generally interpersonal. I focus on friendships. So there are plenty of awesome people who do research on family. But what I understand is that men are more likely to get remarried than women are. And so what you might find is that, you know, men get, maybe they get remarried quickly, or maybe it takes longer, but they are often more likely to get remarried first before women, or more likely than women to get remarried. And so that adds in an interesting, you know, component to consider. And some of that might be going back to gender communication and men being in families, but that perhaps, you know, in some cases it's the man who works in the women are the ones doing, you know, taking care of house and kids. And what's interesting in this movie is that Susan Sarandon's character used to work for Random House Publishing, but she hasn't worked there in 11 years. And Anna is 12. So one might wager a guess that she stopped working to be able to focus on children, the house, right, and the home and the family and the husband. And then what you have is Julia Roberts, who's dating Ed Harris and then is going to marry him. She is a really popular and well-known photographer who is often having to compromise her job to take care of the children. And so and maybe I watched it with my 42-year-old lens versus the one from when I was in my 20s, but I was like, this is bull. It's like her job shouldn't be compromised to be able to take care of his responsibilities. It doesn't mean that when you step in as a step parent that you don't have a role or responsibility, but they are not your children. They become like your children, or people would definitely say they've adopted their stepchildren. There's so many wonderful stories about step parents, unlike Disney, right? You know, it's like the ugly stepmother. And, you know, Julia Roberts even talks about her ugly stepmother wart that she probably has on her nose, right? And that we obviously set it up that stepmoms are evil. We don't have a lot of stories about evil stepdads, but that's a story for our discussion for another time.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, thank goodness for Sound of Music. It's like our one good stepmom.
Yeah, exactly. And that comes later because they don't see her in that role. Like, she doesn't come in as like that motherly figure. She comes in more like a nanny, right? I mean, I feel okay. I haven't watched Sound of Music in a long time, but I was like, if I recall, she comes in with a guitar and like, let's sing and songs and sew clothes out of curtains or something, you know?
That's true. And I did kind of laugh that they made her a photographer, because that's such a thing in Hallmark, is that if they want to give somebody a creative job, then she's a photographer. Well, it's also like the go-to.
It also seems like a flexible job in some ways. And if there are any photographers out there listening, clearly know that I am not one, so you can correct me. But like, I think that's what they play off, is that there's some flexibility, but even to a point where that flexibility has been taken advantage of, and you know, her boss lets her go. But what I love about that, though, is for her, the kids at the beginning seem like a nuisance in some ways, right? Like her and Anna get in a fight and she's like, you know, I'm glad you're not my mother or something like that. And Julia Roberts is like, thank God for that. But then she realizes immediately that's like not the right thing to say. So you can see she's struggling in this role, maybe a little bit, you know, a little bit.
I mean, I don't
drowning.
I don't blame her. I mean, she is put through a lot. She even gets them a puppy and Anna tells her that they should name the puppy Isabel because he smells like you and I'm allergic to you. I mean, she is rough. I mean, I would struggle. I would probably be crying.
Well, here's the thing. My favorite part of this movie is Ben, the little kid, but he's a little escape artist disappear. Like, he believed he was born a magician, which is super cute. And he wants to be a magician, but he disappears. And then there's like one moment where he makes her a potion, right? He's like, she's going to drink it. It's cocoa, but it's his potion. And then she like falls asleep and he goes downstairs to his sister. He's like, I killed her. And then like, he's scared. And then he's like, I killed her, killed her, killed her. So yeah, it's like, I think they're kids being kids. Like, I don't necessarily see anything that's completely out of character for someone of their ages, right? Nothing completely malicious in my mind, just a little attitude perhaps. But I mean, I think what it highlights is like relationships are complex and, you know, a responsibility is perhaps depending on the partnership, the romantic relationship, I think sets the tone for how the entire family sees the responsibility of the people in the family. So I think that Susan Sarandon accepting Julia Roberts becomes an important way for this family perhaps to not move on after she passes, but the idea that they can continue to be a family with Julia Roberts.
And we have to consider that this is made from a 1990s perspective because we went through, like, as everything goes, everything kind of goes in cycles no matter what. And you had at the beginning of the 90s, you had the women can do everything, kind of a Claire Huxtable type. She could have, six children and still be an attorney and still, you know, just like do everything. And there are people that do it and do an incredible job with six children.
Absolutely.
But there's people who struggle.
Like, six kids. Have you seen the Brady Bunch? They need Alice. They can't do anything in that family without Alice. Jeez.
But I don't know. We kind of go through these different cycles of where I feel like as women, where we homemaking is sort of more on the outs, and then other times when it's more sort of, and it's kind of, it's sad that we have this kind of rivalry between the women who stay at home and are homemakers and the women who work. Like and I obviously as a single woman, I can't really speak to that, but it's definitely a thing that happens. And as a culture, we kind of go through, I feel like, a little bit of a cycle of women and how we're treating women. And I think that the relationship between Jackie and Isabel is definitely a competitive one, you know, that they're both trying to kind of win the love of these children. Yeah. And you really even see it where, because Jackie can be difficult. I mean, they definitely, that's the one thing I appreciated about this movie, is that neither one is put up as like a devil or an angel kind of a thing. And so Isabel loses Ben, but then Jackie steals her Pearl Jam idea. You know, like there's definitely some real pettiness here and both of them are flawed. And I appreciate that. I like flawed characters and stories. And it kind of reminded me of I loved the show Reba. I don't know if you ever watched
Reba. Yeah, I've seen it. Yep.
Yeah. And there's an episode where Barbara Jean loses, I guess it must be Kira, or I don't know, I can't remember, but it loses a thing. And I just liked that and Reba's freaking out. And like Brock says, I was there when you were raising our children. You were not perfect. And You forget I was there.
Well, I'm so glad you brought up the idea of rivalry, and there's two ways in which you've made your point. Like the first one being that there's some rivalry between working women or women who stay home or women who do both. And there should absolutely not be that. It's what works for you. It's what works for your family. It's what you want to do, what you need to do. But also, I think what we're seeing now in the pandemic, like I've seen a number of news stories where it talks about that, you know, a lot of the home responsibilities, like homeschooling kids and doing this stuff, has fallen mainly on the women. And so I think we start to see that what they call the second shift is that women might work all day and then come home and they work at home all the time, or that for women who stay home, they're working 24/7 and they don't get paid in the sense of like, you know, all of the work that they do. And so I think there it should be more about not necessarily a rivalry. Like I don't look down on women who stay home. I don't look down on women who do both or who only work, whatever. Like I said, it's like you do you, what works for your family. But I think what's maybe important, going back to the point about how the partnership is set up, really sort of trickles down and how the rest of the family works. So if, you know, if there isn't a conversation about how everyone can contribute in that, or that it's, you know, I just see so many stories on Facebook and different groups I'm in about how, like, you know, with Christmas just happening, how much work women do for the holidays to happen. And just like this idea that like working in a partnership is really important. And I know that might be going a little bit further from this movie, but I think it's an important point because we don't see him doing very much in this movie.
It's true. It's so after Ben gets lost and Jackie is very upset. And I did like the moment where Ben says, "If you want me to hate her, I will."
Yeah.
That was a big moment, I think, for her character when she realizes what she's doing. And then she has a conversation with Ed Harris. I forget his name.
Luke.
Yeah. She has a conversation with him. And he says, "Please don't involve the lawyers. Yeah. Please don't do that." And she says, "I'll give you one last chance."
Yeah.
And then that's when, right when we start getting into the sort of the sickness narrative is when that starts. Jackie is late picking up the kids from school. And so Isabel has to leave the shoot in order to pick up the kids. And I guess they must be going to a private school or something like that, because it seems like there's a pretty big age gap. So I don't understand why the kids are at the same school.
They could just be schools that are connected to each other. Like you have an elementary wing and a middle school wing type of thing. Yeah,
I guess. Yeah. And
I mean, that's not my situation.
I guess they don't have any school buses or anything like that. Yeah. Evidently in the school, you got to get picked up.
They were also in New York City, right? So that might be part of it. I don't know.
Yeah, that must be part of it.
I went to public school, so I don't know. I rode buses.
I went to public school too. I could just walk home. I guess I was close enough. Most of the time I walked home.
The only time I need to ride the bus is high school. Elementary was around the block, and middle school was two to three blocks away. So yeah, we walked.
Yeah. Yeah.
So someone will have to clue us in because we don't know what's going on.
But you're right. I felt like that she shouldn't have had to give up her job in order to pick the kids up. Kind of. I mean, in reality, you do have to make those kind of sacrifices with children.
Absolutely.
For sure.
It's part of the deal.
It just seems like with three people, there should have been another person who could.
I didn't see him pick up the kids once.
Right, exactly.
Like, it was not discussed once. But I think.
Or maybe you could get one of the assistants or something like that.
Yeah, like I'm sure he's got people.
But she's trying to win him over. So that's why.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he's got people too that could take care of this. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And she can't believe that Jackie. And you think that Jackie would at least say thank you to her. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's why I like it that they're both flawed characters. Like, neither of them is perfect.
Well, I think, like, what that highlights is, like, the second point about rivalry, which is that they're in rivalry with each other, which I think is something that often happens in our society where we pit women against each other. And I mean, it makes a lot of sense specifically here. A lot of times I'm like, when people pit women against other women, I think it's just, it's not necessary. But it makes sense here because, you know, they used to be married. These are her children. You know, the boy came out quickly. The girl took 28 hours, right? Like, she was in labor for 28 hours with her little girl. And then it's like she's dying and it's unfair. And here comes some woman that she doesn't really know, who doesn't know, can't even show up on time, right? So it's like these first impressions, it probably was not going to be a good first impression because the ex-wife is also devastated perhaps about the loss of her husband. And now he's with someone new and younger and there's a lot of feelings there. And so it makes a lot of sense. But I think the moments for me that just highlight, like, where you start to see that it's not about the kids being a nuisance for Isabel. It's that it's part of the package deal. And that sounds cold, I guess, but it is, right? It's part of the deal.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
When you are going to go with someone who's previously married and have children, if you're going to marry them, but also like of wanting, you know what I mean? Like when Jackie forgets to pick up the kids and Isabel goes there and like the kids are, the daughter especially is destroyed that her mom would forget them. And she says, you know what? It was me. I forgot. Your mom called me and asked if I could pick you up and I got carried away at work. And so she's doing this thing in which to protect their view of their mother that I thought was absolutely just, it's just like something small, but like that is a huge message to Jackie that, okay, maybe this lady, she's got you and she's going to have your kids. And I think what it comes down to is like when they start to spend time together and they get to know each other, and Jackie asks Isabel to help take photographs for a Christmas present she's making for her children. Yeah. Like you start to see that like they're okay with each other. But we're not always okay with everything happening because we're still coping with it. Like there's grief involved with divorce. Like I just can't imagine being with someone for as long as you've had. And having children with them and still thinking the relationship perhaps is good. And then one walks out on the other, like the wounds that parents might have in their own relationship and having to completely ignore how they feel because their kids are the most important thing, right? That
it's true.
Yeah.
It would be, I can't, because I'm someone who can hold a bit of a grudge. I definitely have that part of me.
Yeah.
And so I think it would be rough. And,
yeah.
But the first time that Isabel really starts to win over Anna is when she helps her with her painting.
Yeah.
And for some ideas. And that's kind of a big moment for their character. And then what did you think of his proposal to Isabel?
Can you not do it in bed?
Well, I agree with that. And also, he never really gets down on one knee, and maybe I'm old school, but I kind of like that.
I mean, either, like, for me, I'm like, it doesn't have to be that per se. I mean, that's kind of neat if someone proposes that way. And I'm kind of like, whoever proposes to whoever, it should be more special than I literally woke up from bed. Like, I would probably still, I was like, dreaming? Is this is this real life? Am I having a nightmare? Like, what is happening? And so,
I think the spool of thread is cute. I do.
But I also think it's precisely who this guy is. And maybe I'm being a little unfair, but maybe we need to have Luke's spinoff story to really understand what's going on. Because, like, the kids adore him. And, like, Susan Sarandon's like, you know, Jackie's like, you're a good father. I just never gave you a chance to believe that yourself. And so, like, there's these good moments, but he's just a little too, like, absent for us to really understand who he is. And, like, my dad worked a lot of hours, but he's an amazing dad. He still is. Love him. I would call him a best friend now. But, like, if they focused on him just being at work, like, what's this guy's deal?
Right. Yeah. But, that's true. Yeah, the relationship is mainly between these two women is the focus of the movie. But, yeah, you're right with that. And so there's a bunch of scenes of Isabel has a moment of a breakthrough with Ben when she sings to him, which I thought was a very sweet moment.
Yeah.
She also has the moment where she finds out that Jackie has been lying about going into the chemo. And so she thinks that she is going to work in LA. And she says, you know, don't take these. She says, this is my problem. I'm going to marry this man and we are going to have a life together. And if you take these kids from him, they're everything to him. And then that's when Susan Sarandon says, when Jackie says, you may guess the wrong secret. Yeah. And Anna, when they finally tell the kids, I liked that Susan Sarandon, when Ed Harris is telling, when she's telling Ed Harris that she has cancer, I liked it. It was a very good acting choice that Susan Sarandon made there, where she does not make eye contact with him the whole scene. Yeah. And I thought that was so telling of kind of their relationship. Mm-hmm. Is she's looking off. She's not making eye contact with him. And I thought that was really good. And he says, it should have been me instead of you.
Yeah.
And I liked it. She's like, I'll go along with that.
Yeah, like those, like, funny moments in the pain. And I mean, I think it also reflects their relationship when she originally tries to tell him, but he's like, oh, I got something to tell you too. And she's like, you go first. And he tells her that he's going to propose to Isabel. And then he's like, okay, what about yours? And she's like, I think we have enough to deal with yours. And so it's even this moment where it's like when she's trying to make this thing happen, that it still becomes maybe a little bit not about her, when maybe it's time for it to be about her, you know?
Well, and they tell the kids, and Anna says that, you know, you lied to me. Mm-hmm. And I can understand why she said that, but it, you know, it's just, it's tough. Like,
that's a teenage moment.
Like, it's such a... such a natural reaction to kind of go inward and be selfish when we're sad about something like that. And it's like, Anna, it's not about you at all. It's about your mother and what she's going to be going through. But because we're hurting, we have a selfish kind of reaction.
I think that's pretty
common in life to do.
When people don't tell us things right away, I think that as kids, when that happens with parents, that we feel like they don't think we can handle it. And I absolutely think finding a right time to tell, like, a 12 and 8-year-old is absolutely 100% appropriate. But I do think there is this level of immediately feeling like my mom doesn't love me or trust me, or, you know, like, she doesn't think I can handle it, or, you know, something like that. So, like, I get it, but I'm also like, okay, this is a tween moment, and when you're older, I think you're going to look back and be like, yeah, that was not the way to go.
And then we've
not my best moment.
Yeah. Then we have the whole sequence where they're singing, lip syncing to Ain't No Mountain High Enough. And this seems like that was such a thing of rom-coms of that era. Now, this isn't necessarily a rom-com, but that this kind of style of movie that you'd have the, whether it was In My Best Friend's Wedding, Say a Little Prayer for Me. Like, I don't know, it seemed like all of these movies had that kind of song sequence.
I think that was the moment for Anna when she realizes that her mom and Isabel can all have something in common. Because we originally see Isabel singing with the kids in the car. And then this this next scene is when they're just found out that their mom has cancer. And there's kind of like this competitive moment where, like, this is an Isabel song. And she's like, she might know the words, but she doesn't got the moves. Or, you know, something along those lines where it's still like, we can still have this moment, you know, Isabella knows a song, but I also, we can have our moment with it. And I think that's pretty cool. What am I, can I talk about one, like my favorite scene of the whole movie? So Jackie is somehow in charge of a school.
Yeah, I was just going to talk about that.
The school Thanksgiving performance. And it's like, it feels like a 10-minute scene of, this is our land. This is your land. From California. Right. For like 20 minutes, it
and
feels
they
like.
They have the Clintons involved. Which
every single fruit and vegetable and president. And they're, and then, but during this, like, Jackie is like being that mom to make these things happen. And she's giving kids things to carry out, and her daughter goes out, and at that time Isabel comes in and he's like, your father can't come, so I'm here and to watch you, and Anna seems, you know, excited that Isabel is there, and then Isabel is telling Jackie about the boy her daughter has a crush on, but he's gonna try to break up with her in front of people, and there's this whole moment, but it's like this 20-minute thing of these kids walking out. Also,
the best part is Ben is the turkey, and the turkey dies at the end of the play.
Oh no, that was great. But my favorite moment is when Julia Roberts realizes that this has lasted like 17 minutes and she's like, what the hell is this? She's like, so funny.
She's like, the turkey. Dead.
But he does it great, you know. But it's just like this real life moment where there's just like there's multitasking. It just shows that life goes on no matter what. Like, I have cancer, and my daughter has a crush, is dating a boy who's gonna like reject her, and I want to protect her, and I'm gonna help this mom help her daughter, and the Clintons have to be at Thanksgiving dinner with all the pilgrims and all this. It's just like. The idea of like how ridiculous stuff is every, there's all this daily stuff. And then there's these moments where like the most serious thing is that Jackie has cancer, but maybe the most important thing is that her daughter is about to be hurt by a boy and her soon to be stepmom is letting the mom know so that she can help her daughter. And then it ends with the cherry on top, the sun coming down as the turkey. Being shot by 10 kids and like Julia Roberts' face is like, what the hell is happening?
I think Love Actually stole this idea from this movie. It had never occurred to me because, you know, of course in Love Actually they have the Thanksgiving lobster.
It's just the most ridiculous stuff that we have kids do in school, and that we will do all these things to make these moments happen, include create a lobster outfit and create little guns that can blow smoke to kill a turkey. That is my favorite part of the entire movie, because it just, I think it just shows like the, just like these really ridiculous things that happen every day, but really highlights this really important moment. And that, although cancer might be the most serious thing, like in my daughter's life, it's this thing, and that both, like the stepmom realizes that, and like she doesn't understand this turkey performance, but she gets that she needs to tell Jackie what's going on with her daughter.
Yeah. Well, so then we get a couple different scenes. We have Jackie taking Anna out in the snow in the middle of the night.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was cute. And she says, I'll remember always, always. And then Isabel is fired from her job, which was, I mean, as a, I mean, it seems like she was a freelancer.
I'm sure she'll be fine.
She's like, she'll be fine, but still is, you know, definitely tough. And I feel like maybe we've gotten a little better as a culture as with you know, things like paternity leave and other things like that. That we need to do better, but I feel like we've improved a little bit, maybe. I don't know.
But I also think that's the moment where Isabel realizes the great responsibility that she is now honored to have is to take care of Jackie's kids, you know? And she's like, I'm sorry you feel that way. And she was like, bye. She was out of there.
Yeah. And so she has a conversation with Anna, and she says, Anna says, no, thanks. I don't need advice from a stepmother. She says, I can see how sitting out here in the cold and snow is better than listening to a stepmother. But for kicks, let's lose the title. Then you can either pretend to be an adult or not.
Yeah.
And you can do something about it together, or you can be crying or do something about it. And so then they get the plan. And so the scheme kind of goes off well.
Yeah.
And, but then Jackie gets very upset and she says, you taught my child that I'm a loser who doesn't care about my pain or doesn't care about her pain. And I don't know, what do you think about this? That, you know, she does tell Anna to lie and, you know, put up this scheme. What do you think about that?
I can understand why Jackie is upset. It does feel like the cool aunt thing to do. You know what I mean? Like, let me give you some. It reminds me of like Jackie on Roseanne and like the daughter's going to her for advice, right? Like, and Roseanne being like, what are you doing? And like, I think that ultimately what Isabel was trying to do was to protect Anna and to show that she cared. And okay, so Anna went through, it was elaborate. There was like some model who showed up to pretend to be her high school boyfriend on a bike. And, you know, like they kissed in front of this kid. And ultimately, I think what comes from it is that the boy she was dating embarrassed her in front of people. And then the solution from Isabel's point of view was to embarrass him back. And I can see as a parent why that would be problematic. The scene is great and Gina Malone does a great job in it. And I love it. And I think that it develops trust between Anna and her stepmom. But as someone who studies communication relationships and revenge is never probably the best idea. Cause then what is that boy going to do now to embarrass her again? And so on and so forth. Right. Or, you know, I think that maybe Jackie might have overreacted a little bit, but I also think like ultimately, what kind of person do you want your child to become? And some people might say whoever they plan to be, but also parents are there to kind of guide them through and help them figure out how to navigate these things. And ultimately, I think that a lot of it is about developing kids into functioning, healthy, happy, and safe adults, and that this might be the way in which to show someone that to be that person, you have to like destroy other people. And
I think
I agree with the boy. The boy's a jerk too, you know. So
yeah, I mean, Isabel's trying to give her kind of an empowered moment.
Exactly, which I get, but still maybe not the outcome I would suggest.
The thing about it is that I feel like in real life it wouldn't really come off like I don't think that most people are that smooth. I just don't feel like it would end up working out. I feel like
I would say the wrong thing. I wouldn't get the words right. I, you know, it's like, I would be scared about doing it, like anxiety.
They also have where Isabel makes the giant cutouts of Ben and Anna for Jackie.
Yeah.
But I think those are kind of weird. I wouldn't like
I mean, like, it does feel weird to walk into a room and have, like, these pictures and things like that, but I think the gesture is about doing something special.
Oh, definitely.
And helping. And so I think what we see is that they're, that, you know, Isabel and Jackie, although they're maybe not friends, they're becoming especially friendly to each other and being able to, like, do a solid for each person.
Well, Jackie finally admits to Isabel that one time she lost Ben.
Yeah, that's great. Why is she going to tell Julia Roberts about it? Like, figure it out on your own, lady.
Isabel says, I never wanted to be a mom, and now I'll always be compared to you. She says, you're perfect. They worship you.
Yeah.
And this is probably the most emotional scene of the movie when she says that I don't want to be looking over my shoulder in 20 years knowing someone else would have done it right.
Yeah.
She says, you know, every story, every wound. I look down the road to her wedding. I'm in the room alone with her, fitting her veil, fluffing her dress, and telling her no woman has ever looked as beautiful as you look at this moment. And my fear is that she'll be thinking, I wish my mom was here. And then she says, and mine is that she won't be. The truth is, she doesn't have to choose. She can have both of us. Yeah. And that scene is so well done.
Yeah.
That I think both those actresses just nail it. And even just reading it makes me tear up.
Yeah, you're like, oh my God.
I can't see.
My tissue box is empty, Rachel. Careful with what you say.
Even in my notes, I wrote sobbing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they says, and she will be a better person because of me and because of you.
Yeah.
Well, it is such a good scene.
Yeah. And I think, like, Julia, like, Isabel's point in that is a little, it makes sense. It's natural and that sort of thing. And I think that 5 years from that point, she wouldn't say that I think that she would realize that, of course, Anna's going to wish her mother was at her wedding, no matter who is in that room with her. Doesn't matter. She's always going to miss her mom. That doesn't mean she doesn't need Isabel to be in that room as well. But I think that, and I don't want to say that's a naive comment from that character. I just think it's not fully formed yet. You know, it's natural and it makes sense. But in the end, it's not necessarily about Isabel or about Jackie. It's about Anna. And that's what parenting is about. It's about the kids.
Yeah,
you know, so
yeah.
But I do think that's a really powerful scene.
Yeah, it's so well done. Both the, I just think it's like, wow, you can tell these are Oscar winning actresses.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very well done. And I think that the movie earns its tears. I really do. I think that by the time you feel like you've really gotten to know both of these women, you feel, like I said, they're both flawed characters. They're both, you've seen them grow and develop as characters. And so when it piles on the emotion, which it does, it feels earned to me. It feels like I'm invested in these characters. And so I don't mind that it's making me cry because there's also the very sad scene when Jackie makes Ben the cape.
Yeah, that's what I was just gonna say. I think that scene is pretty powerful, where on Christmas morning, which is likely to be her last Christmas with her children, is that she's made these special gifts and they're gonna have their one-on-one time with their mother. And so he goes up there and it's a really special gift, and he has like a moment with her. But then as like Anna's coming in and he's leaving and he's like, hey, mom, can you be sure dad knows how to double tie my knots before I go to school? Like, it really shows that the different development and that of the children and how they are going to cope with the loss of their mother. Because then Anna comes in immediately and it's even, you know, a more of a realization for her daughter that her mom is not going to survive cancer. Whereas the boy still has, like, you know, that his mom is sick. He doesn't fully understand, perhaps, or that, you know, in that moment, he's like, who's going to help me tie my knots? You know what I mean? And I think that's a really important point in that grieving and coping and understanding and dealing with cancer in a family is going to depend on the age and the role of the person in the family.
Yeah, and she says, I'll be like the butterfly, and you can we can still meet in our dreams.
Yeah. Where it's like a much more real, like that's more comforting, I think, to the boy. And then with the daughter, I think it's more of a real, more realistic conversation.
She makes the quilt with the photos for Anna. Mm-hmm. And she says, I don't want to say goodbye.
Okay. And we're wrapping it up, right? I see.
And
who's cutting onions in here? Good Lord.
And then that Ben gets the dove for his magic. And they have a final family photo with Isabel included in the family photo. And so that's sort of the end of the movie.
But I think what's important though in that moment is that Isabel takes the family a picture of four, and then she goes, now we need another one with the entire family. And that is like, that Isabel is a part of this family. And I think that is amazing.
Yeah, it's really good. So I really enjoyed this movie. I think that it does a really good job with the characters. And like I said, I think it earns its prize, which is hard to do. It earns its tears. And it also, I feel like it makes me root for a disgruntled teenage character, which is also difficult for me to do. I'm really, really turned off by those characters.
I feel them in my soul.
And I think it's very well acted. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I this one, it has a 45% on Rotten Tomatoes. I think that's too low. I think this movie is a good movie. I like it. And so I'm going to give it a 7.5 out of 10. Mm-hmm. I think the performances are good. I think it, like I said, it earns its emotion. And I think it has something. It's about a relationship that we don't typically see movies about stepmom and mom relationship, well, which I think is good. So
Disney has a lockdown on this market.
But usually the mom is dead.
Yeah, it's bad. Mom is dead. Stepmom is evil. And we haven't even thought about talking about the idea is what if Isabel's character had children too and bringing them together, which I think like another a TV show that kind of gets at that, but with a very dramatic spin is obviously Gossip Girl, when you have families that are merging together and a lot more maliciousness and things happening. For me, I would probably give it a 7 out of 10. I enjoyed it. I think there's moments that, like, I have some notes about the Luke character, if anyone at that movie company is thinking about doing a remake. But I think the performances were strong, especially by the children, which I think is really something to see. When kids nail it, it's pretty awesome. Yeah, I would say, like, a TV show where the kids nail it, they're a little bit older, but Stranger Things, like, those kids are actors. Yeah. They're not kids pretending, right?
Right.
So I think that's important. I think that watching this when you're 20-something versus when you're 40-something is a completely different experience.
Yeah, it's very true.
And that I think rewatching it now just makes me wish that there were more stories about different types of families. And so that would be my call to action for media. And maybe I'm missing out on them. So maybe listeners are like, here's what you need to watch. A movie, TV show, or whatever the case is, I would love those recommendations, but that's what I hope for.
Let us know your thoughts, because we don't have to only talk about Hallmark movies. We can talk about anything that feels sort of on brand.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about anything that feels kind of on brand. And so that will be fun. So let us know your suggestions, what you think of Stepmom. Put in the comments section or let us know on Twitter. And Lisa, how can people find you?
Yes, I'm Dr. Lisa Lucas on Twitter, and I have a webpage called Do I know my own name? Keep that in. Okay, alisalucas.com. And then I host Best Forever's Pod, the podcast, and you can find Best Forever's Pod on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. See, now I've taken like a 2-month break because of the pandemic, and this is one of my first recordings. Clearly, I don't know what I'm doing anymore.
Welcome back.
I'm a little rusty. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes, which we'll be adding this review step on into Rotten Tomatoes. And I'm going to be covering Sundance Film Festival this whole month, so make sure you check out all over there. You'll enjoy it. And make sure you're following the Hallmarkies podcast, all of our social media. And if you are listening on iTunes, please leave your ratings and reviews. We really appreciate that. And if you are listening on YouTube, please give this video a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel. We appreciate that. And check out our Patreon group. We have watch-alongs every month, and we have a lot of fun. And we also have our merch store, which has tons of fun designs. So check that out. And thank you so much. And we will talk to you all later. Woo! Bye, everyone.
Bye.